Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Since you should hear, you can take away.
To introduce to you the author of One True Home,
that beyond the veil of forgetfulness. And oh my goodness, that veil must be down on me. Claire Candy Hupp. Claire, how are you today? I am so excited to have you on the show. Hi.
I'm very well, Bonnie. Thank you so much for having me on the program. And I am looking very forward to speaking tonight about my new book, One True Home Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness.
I love this. Before I even dig into this book, I need to talk about you. You are not just an author, but you are actually a walk-in of Angel Ariel, and you've got you're gifted. I'm going to let you tell everybody what you do, but I've got to tell you, I think you and I both are writing for different magazines. But I hear you're on the cover of a magazine this month, and you must be a busy lady.
I am a very busy lady, and Spirit definitely wants this book to get out far and wide. I was asked to be the cover, and there's a 20-page feature article on me in the Bella Spring magazine. So everyone go there and have a look at that wonderful article that Lisa Nolan Chalosky wrote on me. And I also had a book review on One True Home Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness come out in the Bella Spree magazine for the September issue.
Well, can you tell us, I'm going to call you Claire, because that's, I you look like a Claire to me, so I hope that you don't mind unless you want me to call you something else. Claire, I love Claire, I love Candy, I love all of that. But can you tell everybody you have so many gifts, I don't even know if you can really go into explaining them, what gifts you have, what you bring here, and how people can get a hold of you, because we're going to dive into this book in about 3 minutes.
Absolutely. Okay. My business is Angel Healing House, which I established 12 years ago after I had my angel walk in. The angel Ariel walked into the body because the former soul, the life was just too difficult for her. And so at Angel Healing House, I'm a Reiki master teacher. I love teaching Reiki nationally, local, internationally as well. I am an angel practitioner, intuitive counseling, and also angel reading far and wide. I'm an author. I also have my own international radio show, Angel Healing House Radio, which is weekly every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. On my show, it's different from other shows because I do not feature guests. My angelic family, the Posse of Angels, channel me about 4 to 5 pages every week on insights and messages on relevant topics for the conscious collective on the planet. And when we bring that forward, people gain so much direction and clarity, and then I take free calls for those angel readings and those angel messages, those free mini readings for people. So
that's wonderful.
That's a little bit of the encapsulation of what I do. And, of course, I love writing books.
Have you this isn't your first book. So
no.
And I love everything that you do, but I'm going to tell you that I feel, and again, that this book is so very needed here, because I'm going to tell you, when you dive into this book, it answers a lot of questions that people do have. But I feel, Claire, that this is almost or is totally an autobiography of Ariel.
It is. It is. In many ways, the Posse of Angels channeled that book to me as an adventure. And while it is an autobiography, it takes people on a journey of remembrance. It's not written like many past life books are written from a medical or scientific point of view to try and get people to, you know, believe that there are past lives. This is an adventure. And it's written in a very childlike way to go on that that adventure, that journey with Ariel. And so many people, Bonnie, have said that as they remember it, they start to remember their own journey in spirit and how they've
Absolutely.
Also done this. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm so in awe because I have the ability, and I'm sure a lot of people do. When I started reading this, and we're going to go into the first incarnation, but I started seeing it. And so to me, you wrote so clearly and so much passion. You could feel those lives come through the page. So I want to thank you and thank your posse of angels, and because this is going to be groundbreaking for anybody that reads it. And I have to tell you, I don't want to skip around because there's so much of this book that I want to tear my teeth into. But first of all, I want to thank you for clearing up. A lot of people call and say, what happens between lives? You've really done a great job in letting them know. But I want to get into that first reincarnation, actually. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I might want to call her Anki, but it's you pronounce name?
Yes, the first life, and also I just want to say the reason that I picked these five particular lives, because these were the five lives in which I was challenged the most. And I grew the most because of those challenges. I was an Egyptian princess, and her name is Ankhesen Amun.
Oh my goodness! Do you mind? I don't want to cut. I hate to I don't want to rip up people's names. But so I might want to just give her a nickname because I'm never going to be able to say it. But this was. I was so shocked. I've got to tell you, it reminded me of exactly that era that you were in, and then all of a sudden. Boom, you tried to help somebody, and look what happened. You know, I have a double take on that, though, Claire, because where you wanted to escape, you found somebody that would help you. And I don't want to give too much of the book away because I do want people to buy it and read it. But It's interesting that that was your first incarnation because it was just amazing how you actually lived and died in that life and befriended a servant girl, but really helping you cost her her life. So how do you feel about that and what you learned?
She contracted through her and the outline of her life. And then she also had decisions and choices to make. So there are no right or wrong, good or bad choices. They all have advantages and disadvantages. And what I clearly show is when we go from the physical to the non-physical and we stand before the Etheric Council and we go over the contract of our life at the Hall of Akashic Records, we will see very clearly that yes, she did lose her life because of that, but she gained so much in trying to help somebody.
Yes, and she, the love of how she felt, because I could feel that, towards you. And then I love that she was reunited, because she wouldn't have been on this earth plane, with her soulmate. It was so beautiful to listen to you while you're writing the book and seeing them in spirit. It touched my heart so much that... Everybody, please, you've got to get this book to read it because I don't want to, if I give you word by word, because I could do that, you aren't going to read it, but it is an amazing lifetime. It was pretty short, although I don't know that they lived that long back then, but it was a short life that you had.
Well, it doesn't matter how long a life is. It matters the struggles and the challenges that you bring to yourself and the things when we cross over that we are most happy about and elated about is whether we tried and whether we took those challenges and we did something with them. And it's not the money, it's not the material wealth, it's how much we did with what we were presented with and our perceptions, and that's when we are most proud of ourselves.
Absolutely. And, what I loved and what touched my heart is there was no judgment. Oh, well, nobody did anything anyway. But, there was no judgment. There was only love. And that's what I love about going back. And I love that you describe. Can you take us through, and I'm not going to ask you to do this with everyone, but when you go through that tunnel, then you heal or you go, people come and meet you. And I love that, too, because... it shows that all souls are one and want to be together and want you to succeed and heal when you leave. And I love that concept.
Yes, that journey of remembrance when we cross over is everyone. Everyone goes through the transition level. And the transition level is a lot of the time we will see those relatives and friends and people from this incarnation and also past incarnations. They're there to meet us at a reunion, a welcome home party. And this happens for the primary reason that, that we see these, we know these people have died, so to speak, but they're very vibrant and they're very much alive energetically and vibrationally. So we understand, yes, they've died, but they're alive. So we're in another space, time, and dimension. So that's our welcome home party. It's not to condone or condemn what we've done. It's only to welcome us back, because Spirit knows when there's somebody there to meet you, when you go to a different place, you're always more comfortable. And so from there, after that reunion party, then we would go to our life's review. We would go to the Hall of Wisdom, where there's like a flip chart, a holographic film of our life from birth to death, where we simply watch. And as we watch, we see and we feel what our actions and our words and our thoughts had on that other person. So if you were kind and loving and sweet, you know, you would feel, be compassionate, you would feel what that person feels in front of you. Yet, like many times in my life, I was duplicitous, I was mean-spirited, there were a lot of things, you know, that I might have told lies. And then I felt what that other person felt as a result of my, you know, hurtful words or my thoughts or my feelings. Then afterwards, nobody judges you. There's no scorecards that come up.
And then I love that.
Nobody holds up a scorecard. Then we go to the Hall of Akashic Records to meet with the Etheric Council, these wise sage elders. And they take our book of life off the shelf or whatever, and we look at that contract and we see how well we did in the lessons that we contracted, and we go over that. Now, what went through home behind the veil of forgetfulness, how it's singular and unique and different from other books is because it shows how we take the lessons of that former life that we lived, and then if we choose, nobody forces you to come back and have another crack at it, have another life. But if we choose then to come back in another lifetime, we then meet with the Etheric Council again, take that book down, and we build on the lives that we either learned the lessons, or maybe we need some remedial work and we didn't learn the lessons. And we write that contract depending on what we did in that former life. And so through these five lives of physical to the non-physical, back to the physical again, you can see how this soul, Ariel, starts out and how much progress she makes in becoming self-realized and enlightened.
That was the best. You know, you surprised me. You know, I don't often get surprised, and I'm kind of skipping ahead. But there was one part of the book which shocked me, and that's hard to do because, you know, I feel like I'm always five steps ahead of everything. So you got me. You got me. And that was, do you know which one it is?
I do know what it is because so many people have emailed me and so many people have said to me, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that. That's absolutely just shocked the heck out of me because what I set up is I set up for, well, I'm not going to tell everybody because it's going to ruin the surprise, but you along with so many other people.
That's why I skipped ahead real quick and I don't want you to tell anybody because I've got to tell you, it's very rare that you can shock me. We're all psychic mediums in some way. And I thought, oh, I love this. My meat is in here. I can't believe it. I knew all this, but I'm so happy to see it in print. And then, boom. So I do want to tell you that you did do that, and it isn't easy to do that to me. So everybody, I am going to give another shout-out. Please buy this book. I'm not the type that peddles things or tells you to get things. I present authors that I think you should read, but this is a must read. And honestly, I haven't said that about many books that I have had on here, but this is One True Home, behind the veil of forgetfulness. I keep wanting to say beyond, but behind. Claire Candy Huff, this is the autobiography of Arielle. And when you read it, it is going to touch your heart. It's going to enlighten you, and it's going to show you what wonderful things lie ahead of us all. So, go ahead.
I was just going to interrupt and say, Bonnie, what I've also been hearing from lots and lots of mediums, psychics, and clairvoyants is that this is one of the first books that validates what we have been speaking about for forever, for a very, very long time. And I've gotten lots of responses from psychics and mediums that say, thank you for writing this book, because this is the confirmation. This is the credo that we've been longing for, to get that knowledge out there in a wonderful adventure. And people don't feel like it's a self-help book. People don't feel like it's a, you know, that it's a dry, you know, just dry book just on presented in a certain way. You go on that adventure and you feel like you can fly. You feel like you're back in your one true home.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, that's hard to do with me. I'm ADD. People don't like me saying that. I had somebody say, please stop boxing yourself in. But for me, that's the earthly word of, I don't read all the time. But when I do and something really grabs me, I stick with it and I read it a few times. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those books. One of the lives that I got to go over too is really interesting to me. And that was, of course, it was in Italy, because I have a big affinity to Italy. And I want her, you know, when I get back, Arielle, I'm living in that little village that you've got. I'm gonna recreate that for myself.
The life in Venice you're speaking about?
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. It's Venice. Is it Angelica?
Yes, it's Angelica. Actually, out of all of my lives, the two that really stand out are the life that I spent with my twin flame, Kyle, who is my beloved husband, Pete, who is on the other plane with me now.
We're gonna get to him That's something I'm gonna dig into, because there are so many questions about twin flames, and since you're living it, I am so excited that you're gonna be here to talk about it. But go ahead. Which are the ones?
Okay. What I was gonna say about that life in Venice when I was a courtesan, a very highly paid prostitute, is that that was one of my favorite lives. Not because I bedded so many men, but because courtesans were one of the only women or a group of women that had access to education. They had access to reading, access to the library, because wives certainly didn't. They were just meant to be pregnant, and that's their children. You either could be a nun. You could be a nun, or you could be a maidservant, or a charwoman, or whatever, and or a prostitute.
I'd be one of those.
The highly paid courtesans, because they kept company of ambassadors and diplomats and kings and emperors and really high level men, they had to be well versed in education, in all kinds of cultural activities, you know, and a lot of times they were asked by heads of state to sit in on different meetings and things like that, because they were so well educated.
I think that's so fascinating, because you know what I don't understand, and maybe you can help me understand, because that's exactly the life I would want. Except, and I don't know, I might have had a husband, but I don't know. But I've got, and I know they can't really, but What I can't figure out is how that got to be, like, you know, why were they allowed to have the education and sit with those ambassadors, yet their wives weren't? I know that they were supposed to be home, seen, and not heard. But isn't that interesting that they let them be the she was more educated, it seemed like to me, than a lot of the men.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's no question about it. She had a hunger because part of her knew that, you know, she was subjugating and sublimating her body, but in those days, you know, there was no other recourse, you know, when she got over the veil, when, you know, she was very shameful and very, very ashamed in front of the Athera Council. And they said there's no shame in looking after a mother, and you did everything that you could in those days when
That's
there was
right.
nothing else. When there was nothing else available to you. But marriage back then, Bonnie, you have to remember, marriage back then had nothing to do with love.
Isn't that crazy?
It was nothing to do with love. It had to do with a contract from one country or one region or whatever, that if a woman, a girl had an extensive dowry that she could bring to a family, and then it was contracted from a financial point of view. There was no love, there was no emotion, and so they were just meant to breed and bring lands and countries together and that kind of thing. So why would a husband want to, you know, emotionally nourish and nurture and have their wife around when they don't have anything in common with her?
Absolutely. You know, I love, because I can see when I was reading through the book, you can almost feel the era by you writing it. So I knew exactly, I tuned right in there. And it was very interesting to me. I can't tell you how intrigued I was, because there is another life I want to talk to about. But that life to me was so romantic and wonderful. On the other flip side, that was at the time what a woman had to do to be educated, and educated very well. And so I just think that each era, another thing is, you come in, you know, Ariel comes in different times. She jumps in different time frames, which is so interesting to me, because life has changed on this earth plane in those periods of times and places that you've come in. So it's interesting, you've built like a timeline of what happened through different parts, and I so love that. You know, one of the lives that I love. Well, you know, we didn't hear your second one. What's your second one that you loved?
Oh, well, the second one that I absolutely adored was her remembrance of the life that my twin flame Kyle, which is Pete in this incarnation, we shared as Aborigines in Australia 32,000 years ago, when we were keepers of the sacred well up in the Kimberleys, the Northern Territory of Australia. I actually, in this incarnation, the former soul was born with a birthmark in the form of Australia on her right upper arm. I mean, it's amazing. I lived in Australia for many years. And it was such a beautiful life. We didn't own anything, and yet the land gave us everything. We were a part of the land, and we were a part of that dream time. Aborigines and Aboriginal people are amongst the most sacred in the world, because there is no delineation between them and the land and them and the dream time. It's like they live this duality in which they own nothing. No material, no monetary things, and yet they have everything.
Wow. You know, that's so interesting to me, and we're going to get into twin flames, but I have to tell you what one of my favorite was. Well, it wasn't that it was my favorite. It just really struck me, was the one in Scotland. Is it Annabelle Rose?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Many people who read that life can resonate with it, because I won't give too much of it away, but she was a healer. She grew up to be a healer, and her gifts of prophecy were revealed, and she was destroyed. And many people who do the work that we do, Bonnie, a lot of them don't step out, and they don't gain public recognition, or they don't step out and speak about what they do, because they have been destroyed in past lives. I had a very good friend who was so afraid of heights, and she was a Reiki master, and she just couldn't get over her fear of heights. And when I took her through a past life regression, she had lived in medieval times. They had called her a witch, and she had been thrown off of a of a tower in France, and she had been destroyed because of what she believed and what she was speaking about. So,
What I love about that, and I don't love, of course, about that, I love that she was a healer. I love that she was attuned to the earth, and I love that she used the earth. But I have to tell you that I really feel that we have seen that through generations and generations in different ways, people destroying other people because of beliefs that, you know, that they think that everybody should have in all ways. Mm-hmm. So I love when I feel that we all, as healers, psychics, mediums, and anything else, crystal healers, drummers, or, you know, you can name the whole gamut, came here and in lives before, because we've come with those gifts many times, developing them, were, like you said, not really revered. And so now we have a different generation, which I love, which is the Aquarius generation. But the, which I love. But the other thing, and then, you know, I want to go into twin flames, but the other thing that was, I'm sure, really hard for you, and again, don't give too much of it away, I want everybody to read it, was the Indian. That was so distraught, and I couldn't even, like, when I got to the end of it, I was so happy because I just wanted to, I'm not the Indian, I'm so sorry, the African from Africa. One or Nigeria, it was a tough life for you, and it was not easy, and it was not an easy read for me either, because I could feel the angst and pain. So that was an interesting life that you had.
You know, in many ways, that is one of the lives that I'm most proud of, because I contracted to come back and have my liberties taken away from me because I was quite haughty as a courtesan, and I treated, you know, my servants with disdain, and I needed to feel what that felt like. It's interesting how, when we have lived a past life, what we choose in this incarnation that we're living now, and the former soul that was in the body before January of 2003, at one stage, she lived on her parents' farm, which was an antebellum, which was an old slave plantation in Charlottesville, Virginia. And, every time she walked from the guest house to the main house, there was this walkway that was sunk below the ground, and the slaves would cook in what was formerly the slave quarters, which they had rebuilt into the former occupants had rebuilt into the guest house. And then, in order for them not to be seen, to bring the food to the main house where it was taken to, in dumb waiters up to the first level of the main house, there was this deep walkway. And every time, Bonnie, the former soul walked it, because I have her memory, I felt what that felt like to be a slave walking from that kitchen to bring it to the white master and the mistress of the house. So the despair and the hurt. And in order to really learn a lesson, the reason we do this is because we learn our best lessons in contrast. You know, when we cross over to the other side, we can see things so clearly, but there are a lot of souls who don't have the fortitude. They don't have the strength to come back and live a human existence, a human incarnation, in order to learn their lessons in practice, not just in theory.
That's one of the biggest things, besides that, you know, right there you're looking at when you want to come back and you want to learn what those other people felt like, which to me is karmic lessons. But I have to tell you that what's interesting also in looking at this, and it's getting real philosophical, and I love this, is that you came back, you know, I want people to hear this from you. You didn't come back as one type all the time or another type. You know, I keep thinking I'm a princess, and I came back as a princess always. But what you're giving everybody is the idea that we don't all come back in one shape, one color, one place, one time to learn these lessons. That can't be done. You have to have you come back in all different ways, colors, shapes, and forms to learn lessons. And I think that's pretty exciting and cool. And that this book shows that, because you weren't, you know, you took lives of each different area and types of people.
Exactly. And the gender is very important as well, because even though we're living in, you know, the age of Aquarius, even though, you know, many of us have balanced our masculine and feminine energies, it's very different when you come back into the body of me as a female in this body now. You come back in a man's body. I mean, it's just...
I don't want to do that.
They think, well, you know, but that's a great learning lesson to come back and to see it through the eyes of the male and how the male psyche works and all of those things. So it just gives us more depth. It gives, and the challenges that we have, and while no life is all dark and all life, it's the things that we choose and the variety of, as you say, gender, color, ethnicity, different eras, that all adds to this beautiful portrait of our soul, which then we can grow from, because that's why we're here. We're here to grow and to expand and experience. I've had so many people through my practice say, I don't know my purpose. And I say, your purpose here is to shine your gifts, your talents, your ability, and to have fun and to play and to be in joy with it. It doesn't get any more complicated than that.
I love that. And, you know, I've got to get into twin flames, because otherwise, we just talked about this yesterday, which somebody brought up an interesting point about twin flames. This is interesting in the book, and I want to try to stick to the book and then to what your opinion is. But when you came back, he was waiting there for you until the last, I think there was one. So I don't know, why one didn't you gather him to come into each lifetime? And do you do that? And do we do that? And two is, when he's not there, because he's an incarnated, because he didn't incarnate, like when I'm looking at all the lifetimes, you might just not have brought it into the book, but he was waiting for you until the last one, I think. Then you jumped in together. But how does that work with twin flames? Why don't we bring them here each time?
Okay, there's a great answer for that. The reason why we don't bring twin flames to us every time is because you only attract your twin flame when you have resolved all of your karma, when you've completely cleared and cleansed anything that's going to trigger you, anything that you're going to be reactive of. And if you have anything, any sadness, bitterness, resentment, regret, judgment, criticism, defensiveness, anything, not forgiving, you know, all of those things, not taking accountability, responsibility for your life, anything, that is going to be a constriction. So a lot of the time, you know, people do not contract to have their twin flame on the earth plane because they're not going to meet them. They're not going to meet them. And then they can be of greater service on the other side of the veil, sending you signs and messages and things like that. Because why would you contract to have your twin flame on the earth plane when, you know, you 99.9% out of the time wouldn't be meeting them? It has been such a rare occurrence for twin flames to meet on the earth plane. So that's why a lot of times people don't contract for their twin flames to be here on the earth plane, is because they can be more of a help on the other side.
Wow, because that's what I kind of picked up. And then when you do come with them, it is a great, wondrous, fabulous. I've heard different stories about twin flames coming, that sometimes they come and it's not their incarnation to be together, but yet somehow they find each other, and it's not an easy life for them. I don't know that I resonate with that, but I feel like if you're here to learn lessons, and you see each other, that you would be in each other's lives some way.
Mm-hmm. Right. go on.
No, because the other thing is, it was brought up yesterday, and I love this, and I don't know what you're going to say because it's really far out there. But I had one of one of the people who speak on my show, and I love her. She's a medical empath. And an empath. But she said her mom is her twin flame, and she's married and has kids. And she said, she's a piece of me, and we are always together. And I looked at that, and you could use the twin flame as something different in that language. So what do you,
You could, and you could say that about each one of us, because we are all one. The difference in the twin flames, as I feel about them, is that they come back to bring forth a mission from God. You know, there's a triad with the twin flames. It's just not romantic. People have this sort of Boons and Mills and Joan Collins or whatever, Barbara Cartwright, look about twin flames, or what they feel is, you know, they'll hear beautiful music and they'll be always, you know, romantic and that kind of thing. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, it is very romantic, but their first mission is to give up their will, to will the will of God. Because in a twin flame relationship, God is always at the top, and then you have the masculine, and then you have the feminine. A lot of times people don't bring their twin flame to them on the earth plane is because they don't want to give up their ego. They don't want to give up their will in order to do God's will. For instance, Pete and I are always, always led by the divine. God told us to sell our beautiful beach home on the beach in Queensland, Australia, in paradise, where we thought we were going to be there for forever. And God said, no, in order to bring forth your projects and endeavors, you must sell this in order to go and meet the connections that you need. And you become like mystic wanderers. That's what you are. And people don't want to give up. I said to a good friend of mine, said, I'm with my soulmate. I'm not with my twin flame. My husband and I fight quite often. And I wish I had a relationship like you and Pete, because it's always easy and there's almost grace. And I said, okay, I won't mention her name, but I said, if God told you tomorrow to sell your beautiful house up in Simi Valley, because you need to serve the planet by moving to another country, I said, would you do that? She said, of course not. I'd move away from my friends, my support system, my this and that. I said, but it's for the greatest good of all concerned. And she said, no. And I said, that's the difference.
I love that. I mean, you're right. It's not easy.
And every day, Pete and I say, either out loud or we feel it in our heart, we will to will God's will. There's no greater thing for both of us than to serve the will of the divine. And we come together as one, and we've lived that way in every single second for the last 12 years.
I love that. I got to tell the people they're on the line, I am going to start taking callers. But I do want to really, so don't hang up. I do have to tell you that, you know, because people, you know, but I thought it was so important to get this out. I what's really funny is you say that, and I would be willing to do that. I would move to Alaska. I'd move to Australia. I'd move to Italy. I mean, I might have to have a nice place. But, you know, my husband wouldn't, so maybe he's not. I would do it, but they both have to want to do it. So even though I think that we're soulmates and we've probably been around forever and ever, I'd be the one that does that, leave everything, but he wouldn't. So that means that somewhere along the line he has to get enlightened a little better. And I love him very much. He is my prince. But now I'm going to ask you one question, and then we're going to get to callers. But the other thing is, I was fascinated, and I want you to explain. And people, when they get to the end of your book, will probably understand. But I think you and I talked about it. You came in the last incarnation that you write in the book with no script. And
correct.
That's because, and I don't want you to give too much of it away. So I do want everybody to know, please read the book, because this is where you find out what happens when you're enlightened through each lifetime. And I want to thank you so much. But so continue with, because I think I stopped you about your twin flame. So you feel that, can I ask a question? And I guess this is crazy, and that's why I brought up my husband. Did you both hear it at the same time, or one went to the other and said, we need to, you know, we need to sell this and move here? And the other one, would your husband or you have said, yes, I heard that too?
Oh, no. I was standing on the beach in Carmel in 2006, and I heard the voice of God said, when you move to the States, this is the first area you should move to. And I told this to Pete, and he said, but we're not moving to the States. I'm not selling our beach house. And it was a month after we came back to Australia, I started to hyperventilate. I knew the posse of angels were telling me, you must start making movement to go to the States. And he had bought this beautiful oceanfront home, you know, 10 years ago. Oceanfront property is something that you can't, you know, manufacture.
Yeah.
It's a limited commodity of it.
Yeah.
And knowing how much he wanted to realize his career in the film industry, I knew it wasn't going to be realized in Australia. And I sent him an email, and I said, how much do you want to realize your career in the film industry? I said, because it's not going to happen in Australia. It's going to happen in America. And 3 minutes later, I got an email back that said, yes, we will put the house on the market tomorrow. So he knew that in order to step into the role that we are going to be making movies, making my books into movies, all of these things, he knew that you have to let go of something in order for God to fill up your hand again.
Wow. You know, and maybe, I know I'm waiting for my big break too. So I hope that my hand gets filled with something. But I am very happy and grateful for everything I have. I am going to go to the phone lines. I could spend the next 3 hours talking about this book. But if I do that, I don't know that anybody's going to be able to read it, because they're going to say, oh, my God, you were so fascinating. I already know the book. So I'm not going to do that anymore. But I do want everybody to know that it's going to be I can't even imagine that you're not going to go a whole lot of places with this book, because it really defines.
The doors are flying open. Do you know, as soon 2 weeks before I published this book, a filmmaker out of the blue from Australia contacted me and said she wanted to make a documentary on me, on my work, on my walk-in experience. She had heard about me from somewhere else. That documentary is coming out in November. It's going to be sent to different film festivals. And then the book review. I wasn't even looking for these things. Then the cover of Bella Spree magazine. The doors are being absolutely flung open, because this is a very, very important book for people to connect with, for them to remember their own one true home, which is just
it's magnificent.
On the journey of remembrance.
I got to ask you a question. So here's the deal. Okay, so I know you're really pretty and beautiful and you look like an angel, but so do I. So if they want somebody to play you, I'm the first one for that role. Got it?
You know what? When you deal with heads of movie companies and things like this, you don't always have a say so in what you do. But I'll take that under advisement.
Thank you. And the only other thing is, I love your white wings, but can we like tip them in a little bit of black? Only because my favorite color is black and white. And if you just tip it, it'll give everybody my feisty attitude. So 313, you are on with an awesome, awesome lady. You are on with Claire Candy Huff. 313, you are on. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hi, how are you? How are you, lady?
Hello. Oh, we're having fun. We're having so much fun. How are you?
Hi, thank you for asking. My name's Sherelle, calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Hi, Sherelle. You're on with Claire. So, Claire, you are on with Sherelle.
Okay. All right. Claire.
Very well. Sherelle, do you have a question for myself and the posse of angels? What has been happening in your life?
Nothing much. Just recently, my granddad just passed away last week. He had a heart attack. Then before that, he had a stroke. But other than that, everything is okay. And I had a question regarding, do you know when I will hear from Sam?
Do you know when you, and now you broke up a little bit before. You said somebody had passed away from a stroke?
Yeah, my granddad.
Oh, your granddad. So are you asking when you to hear from your granddad named Sam, or is this somebody on the other plane?
No, I think this is a boyfriend, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. A friend.
Okay.
A friend.
The first thing, Sherelle, while I'm shuffling the cards, the first thing that the Posse of Angels is saying, please, don't have any expectations. Don't have any attachments because you can't control anyone else. But what you can do is you can send Sam beautiful candy cotton puffs of bubblegum pink love, and light around him. And the greatest way to affect love in your life is to turn the mirror back on yourself and be in joy, peace, with the way everything is now. They're showing me a flower, like the small, my favorite flower is roses. They're showing me a little rosebud, and they're saying, what you're trying to do, Sherelle, is, will I hear from him? Won't I hear from him? That's actually creating lack in your life. That's creating a lack of love, because you want to get your identity or filled up with love from hearing from this person. So it's like taking that rosebud and pulling off the petals so it can open up faster. They're saying allow your relationships to unfold in their own beautiful timing, in the timing of the divine. So your first card that comes out for you is it's an opening card. It's the Eight of Wands. And the Eight of Wands is certainly the card of an opportunity, and the more you let go of expectations on a relationship, the more you open up to more coming in. Next card is that happy family life. Look at this. We've got the Ten of Cups, which is a new beginning.
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful, beautiful emotions around this, and this all has to do, and the next card is the Ace of Wands, which is a beginning about the fire inside of you, about those emotions again, So what the Posse of Angels are really trying to say is let go of that expectation, bless the relationship exactly where it is, and know that, you don't need anybody to fulfill that love inside of you. I hope that's been helpful.
Oh,
yes,
that's it.
Has. Thank
sweet.
You.
Hey,
thank
have
you
a
ladies.
Great
it
day.
Really
you're very. How's the weather
yes,
there? How's the weather
it's
in Detroit?
Cold.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I had to ask, because in Florida, I'm hot. So I'm trying to get a little bit of a difference in temperature, and you have just given that to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
You got great cards. Oh, my goodness. Those cards were great. They were fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I want them. Okay, well, I want the Ten of Cups. Okay. 281, you are on with Claire. Hi.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Claire.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi,
I'm
Candy.
Very well.
Candy, hello. This is Claire. Claire, this is Candy, but you both have the same name. One's a middle name and one's a regular name. So, Candy, this is Candy.
Hi, Candy.
Hi.
How are you? Pretty good. Thank you. I was wondering today what my angels or the angels or the guardians have to say.
Okay, in any area of your life, what's going on in your life these days?
Right now, everything's coming back into perspective, into happiness.
Okay, all right. When we lose happiness in our lives, it's because we get off our line of divinity, because we all are divine. We all have this holy consciousness connected inside of us. And every time we think that there's going to be something better outside, or something that's going to material or monetarily or relationship-wise make us happy, then what actually happens is we lose perspective. and the more we can bring okay. this back to in this present moment, I am the richest that I can ever possibly be. There can't be anything else outside of this moment that's going to give me any more joy, any more peace, any more happiness, any more fulfillment than what I'm experiencing right now. And unless we feel that vibrationally, then if there's any less, then we're going to be creating a future in which there's going to be components of all those things that, you know, things are not bad in our lives, but we won't feel at our optimum. So, okay. So let's go to the cards. Let's go to the cards and see what comes out for my namesake, Lovely Candy.
I want candy corn. I keep seeing candy corn. I know at the end of October is Halloween, but every time I see it, I see drops of candy corn, and I don't know why.
I don't know, Candy, if you or the listeners, maybe you're too young to remember this. My birthday's coming up on October 7th, and I'm turning a very significant age. But there was a song that said, beautiful candy, too pretty to eat. And that's from the Broadway show Carousel. So I always liked that show. So let me go to the cards. Oh, my gosh, Candy. Here we go, Candy. First card out for you, right out of the gate, is the world. This is a completion card, and it's also a beginning card.
Okay.
And the thing I like about the world is that you now know when you're off your line of your divine consciousness, that connectedness. You can feel that your perspective has dwindled, and in order to get that back, all you need to do is bring it back to the present moment, be in gratitude and appreciation for exactly the way your life is now, because every decision, every choice that you've made, because you're such a goddess, that you have created your life to be exactly the way it is now. So there's no blame, there's no fault finding. And so when you bring it back to gratitude and appreciation, then this amazing, amazing vibrational energy starts to raise your vibrational frequencies and opens all kinds of doors for you for new opportunities and new beginnings. And also, it's this is a 3 card. It's a 21, which is a 3, and it's the card of creation. So you can create a new reality with this new perspective of yours. Here we go. Good girl. Second card comes out for you is the 10 of Pentacles. You know,
I want that card.
Bonnie, I'll give you a reading later. This is the happy family life. This is the happy family life. And we have a happy family outside of us when we have a happy family inside of us. You know, when we have peace and joy and we're settled inside, then our reality will match that. And we feel abundant. The next card that's coming out for you is the Queen of Wands. And that Queen of Wands is such an amazing queen, because she knows what she wants, when she wants it, and she's not afraid to speak up about it. So I don't know what your communication has been like in the past, but they want you to be really empowered. They want you to be forthright, assertive, and they want you to speak up for yourself, because they're saying, my dear Candy, you are worth it, and you are worthy and deserving of having your dreams fulfilled by the universe. So great cards, great things coming up for you. Just keep holding that perspective.
Okay. I love that.
Now, Bonnie, can I ask her posse a question?
Absolutely.
I would like to ask your posse and yourself this question. Can archangels be spirit guides to people?
They have such an extraordinary large umbrella that they're working under for the betterment of humanity. But there are also aspects of them that can be there at the drop of a hat to help you in whatever way, shape, or form. So they're very extraordinary, the archangels, because, you know, so many of them hold energy for all of humanity, you know.
I agree with you.
If you call Archangel Michael, if you're walking along a dark, you know, alleyway or whatever, he's there. He's there by your side.
Okay.
And so, yes to your question.
Okay.
Yeah, you know
what?
I think there was a question that came up, and that's why I think Candy was asking.
That's why I keep asking.
Yeah, because,
like,
you know,
people's perspective on it.
I know, yeah. And everybody has the same one, but, you know, I believe archangels are for everybody. They help every one of us in humanity down here. So to come as somebody's spirit guide, they just come as guides and helpers to everyone. Yes. I don't believe somebody can own an archangel. So
as far as the candy corn goes, that was my father's favorite candy.
Oh, no wonder I see it. I mean, you know, I have security. So I will tell you, your dad and I mean, I don't eat candy corn, but boy, do I want some right now. So he must be here with you. And that is so wonderful.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to go buy them. And you know what? Now they have, guys, because since your name is Candy, they have the big ones. They're not the little ones anymore. I see the big ones. They're like really big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I see.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for the lovely message, and have a blessed day.
God bless you. Take care, Candy. Bye-bye.
Can I ask you a question now that we took a few? Can I ask a question? What is your next, like, you know, I know that things are coming for you. What is your next projection? What do you want to accomplish? Because I know you have all kinds of things here you want to accomplish. And what is next for you, Claire?
Okay, all right. The only way that I can answer that, Bonnie, is to serve God and to be with Pete, and to do that in whatever way he wishes me to do that. I mean, otherwise, if I start making a laundry list and a litany of things, then I restrict and I constrict the way that things would come in. And he, God, universe, knows me better than I know myself and knows the connections and opportunities. So I can tell you that I love to write. I love, love, love writing. I'm in a vortex when I'm doing it, and nothing else exists when I'm writing. And so there's going to be a lot more books that are going to come out of me. My husband and I have written 2 screenplays already on 2 of my books. I'm going to be involved in Pete's making movies, and so, you know, speaking engagements. There's just so many things that are going to be presented to me, and I will just say yes, as I'm a mystic wanderer in this relationship with Pete. We are one, and we'll just step forth wherever God wishes us to take our message out to the world.
Well, before I actually give you your next caller, I do want to ask, and I'm sure everybody is curious, how did you, when you met your husband, Pete, and your soulmate, or actually your twin flame, how did you know, immediately when you saw him, or that he was your twin flame?
Yes, because
I answer to that, but I want you to tell everybody.
Okay. I wrote a decree. I walked into this body. Angel Ariel walked into the former soul's body in January of 2003. 3 months later, after I lived the characteristics and I was led to the people that helped me understand what had happened to me, I wrote a decree to God. Decree was that I, the former soul, had compromised myself in love, but I would never do that again. And I wrote, thank you for my twin flame relationship and marriage. The pen then wrote, I live in a comfortable home by the ocean. I certainly didn't have the money to be in an oceanfront home. And then the pen and I wrote the characteristics. I took that as a sacred pact. I read it out morning. I read it out night. And I felt what that would feel like to be with my twin flame. And I wrote down, you know, not, I didn't write down that he had to have a six-figure salary, that, you know, he had to drive a certain car, wear certain clothes. We traveled the world together. We worked together. Nothing was more important than the relationship. You know, we were best friends, supportive of one another. And then I read it morning and night and felt what that would feel like to be with my twin flame, bringing forth God's mission. And then at a party, it was a Come As Your Favorite Rockstar party in September, which was 6 months later. I went as Stevie Nicks. And the only Elvis in the party turned up in the white jumpsuit, the pompadour hair, the red cape, and the aviator glasses, and sat next to me. 5 hours later, we were still talking, and 5 days later, he asked to marry me. And that's a true story. He wanted to ask me after 3 days, but he thought he would wait for 5 days. And as soon as I saw him, we spent the next Sunday together, I knew he was everything. Everything that I had written on that sacred pact that I had intended for my life. And indeed, I lived in a comfortable home on the ocean, because that's what Pete and what became my oceanfront home.
That's wild. I just have to tell you, you see, I'd have been Stevie Nicks, and I would have gone for what my husband looked like, the better version of Bon Jovi. I'd be looking for the Bon Jovi in the crowd, and I happen to love music. So I would have been probably out in the cold, because I'd be looking for something that might not be there. But I tell you, you are so funny, because like I said, Stevie Nicks is one of my favorites, always was, and then you're looking to meet Elvis. Two totally different types of groupings there. But I think that what I love is that you're so open and honest, and that it wouldn't have mattered if he walked in probably as, you know, an elf or something. You would have been right there by his side. By the way, does he sing like Elvis?
No.
Because what did he come as Elvis for? He picked Elvis. Like, couldn't have picked, like, Twisted Sister or Kiss or one of those. But, oh, my goodness, Elvis, that's so cute.
He was the king, and in many ways, Stevie Nicks, and a lot of people will say she's the queen of rock and roll, but who knows?
I love that story. And guess what? Because I already know you're shuffling the cards. I'm going to be next, because you said you were going to give me a reading.
I did. So, Bonnie, what questions do you have for the Posse of Angels?
Oh, I love those posses, Sea of Angels. I want them over here with me, but I won't steal them. So I'm going to ask them. You know, I don't have very many, you know, because the questions I have, everybody knows. I want a radio show that goes viral. Like, this is a great radio show. I love this. I won't stop doing it. And I know I bring, like, the guest I had, I wish that you had come on Tuesday. But the problem is, I had this really crazy thing, and now my Facebook is gone. I only have a few people on Facebook, because a spirit was telling me I had to get off Facebook, but that's really my page, so I didn't get off it. I think I was hearing something else. Anyway, and I know I'm changing the hours of the show. Something's telling me I've got to change. And it's got to be, and I'm still playing around with it. I'm going to, you know, change the hours. But I feel that something hasn't taken place that I really wanted to take place. I've had visions. So one of my questions is going to ask, and I hate when people do this, and now I'm doing it, is, do you see the future of my show going to, and you can be honest, going to, like somebody said, they see the number later, KL, like a radio tower that actually gets everybody heard, like all over, and not on a commercial talk radio.
Okay, Bonnie, the first thing you have to do is let go of this. Let go of your attachment. Let go of your expectation. This is your ego talking. The Posse of Angels are reciting me a passage from the Talmud, and they're saying that he who touches one person touches the world. They're saying, okay, you have no idea. You have no idea how many people have listened to you and have garnered information and that's helped them enormously. And stop thinking of numbers and stop thinking quantity and start thinking the quality. And know in this moment, in this precious jewel of a present moment, you have created a wonderful vehicle. It doesn't need to be any bigger. It doesn't need to be any grander. That's your ego talking.
You're right.
You say, I will, to will, God's will, and God, you show me. I didn't write One True Home Behind the Veil of Forgetfulness to make money, although it's going to make lots of money. And when it gets turned into a film, it's going to make much money, let me tell you.
I'm going to be the actress.
I didn't do it for that reason. I didn't do it for the ego. I didn't do it for the fame. I did it because I love writing and because God channeled this beautiful book into me. So they're saying for you as well, you will not miss out on anything in this incarnation that is not for your highest good and the highest good of all concern, the greatest good of all concern. Please, please, please let it go. Surrender it and you will be led. Let's go to the cards.
You're right.
Oh, my God.
I've got to tell you. You're right.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love that what they recited from the Talmud.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be he that saves one person saves the whole world.
You know, I'm Jewish.
No, I didn't. He that touches one person touches the world. You have no idea. They're saying, you have no idea, beloved Miss Bonnie, how many people that you have touched with your heart and your love and your caring and your beautiful nature. And they said, all you need to do, sweetheart, is just keep doing what you're doing, and they will show you where to put your foot next on the path. Let's go to the cards and see what comes out for us. They're calling you Bonnie Doon, like in a Scottish novel, Bonnie Doon. Bonnie Doon. Okay,
yeah,
next. Here we go. What comes out is the Three of Pentacles. This card is the recognition, the financial remuneration. This is people that promote you and support you, encouragement. This is the recognition of your gifts, your talents, and your skills. So this is the confirmation of you surrendering and letting go to how you think it's supposed to look like.
I love that.
Open up to what God has in store for you, which, by the way, is more limitless and more boundless than you possibly ever could imagine with our limited linear minds. Next card that comes out for us, oh, my gosh. Another being remarkable card. This is the Eight of Pentacles. So far, Pentacles.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Okay. Once you surrender, once you let go of the attachment and the expectation, then you will be bringing opportunities and connections to yourself. I always call the Eight of Pentacles the being remarkable card. Working hard at your craft. Doing what you love doing and being paid abundantly for it, because it's an eight card of riches and prosperity. And the next card that's coming for you is, with the surrendering comes the Six of Swords, with you easily. And they're using the word grace, my dear. They're saying, instead of trying to force something, the waters are going to part. And you're going to be shown where to go rather than forcing it to happen in a certain way.
I love that. I mean, I've got to tell you that thank you, Posse of Angels, and thank you, Claire, because I've got to tell you that was exactly what I thought. I have to tell you that's the funniest thing that you quoted from the Talmud, because I happen to be Jewish, and my father would be bringing that down my throat. The second, not meanly, but he would. And then you quoted something else that was from the Hebrew also. And I've got to tell you that I know, and I've told this to many people because I am a counselor and a life coach, that if you can touch one soul, one person, and smile at them and change their life, you have lived that type of abundant life and to help others. And so I thank you because I really do love my show, love everybody, and I would never give. I would be bringing everybody with me. But you're right. I just figured out that about a month ago, I said, you know, I'm going to give it over to God. If you want to do anything with this show, you go ahead. And I'm going to always keep doing it. So you're so funny. I love that. And I so appreciate it. But that was wonderful. And I appreciate everything that you said. So thank you. And I love it. Yeah. And unless you have anything others, I am going to pick up the next caller.
Good.
All right. You know, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I always want to hear this. You know, it's not an ego thing, but it probably is, because believe me, I've let my ego lead me places I shouldn't. And I love the message, so thank you. 404, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I am fabulous. Who are we speaking with? Well, I'm fabulous after that reading. I mean, oh, my gosh, I couldn't have asked for a better reading. I know. Isn't that sweet? But who are we speaking with?
T.
Hi, T. I'm going to hand you right over to our special guest. And I mean special. This is Claire. I didn't even want to give her up for me. I was going to make her keep going. So I'm sure she's glad that I picked you up. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm sorry, what was your name?
It's T.
T. Oh, T, lovely to speak to you. What question do you have for myself and the Positive Angels?
Just employment, just new employment.
Okay, employment, you said?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Let me, while I'm shuffling the cards, are you currently doing what you love doing?
No.
Okay. Well, then how can you expect your outer reality to reflect back to you joy, happiness, fulfillment, all of those things if your inner reality is different?
I'm trying to, like, right now, I'm trying to make so many decisions. Like, I'm having a hard time figuring out what I want to do for long periods of time, because I just jump up so quick, and, like, I want to do, like, different things every day. It's like I'm so confused. Like, every day is something new. Like, one day is real estate. The next day is music, and then I'm already, like, finished school. I got my master's. So it's just like, and now you got student loans. So it puts me in a situation like, oh, you have to pay student loans, so you need a decent job. But,
yeah. All right.
So it's just, you see, it's so confusing right now.
It is. And you know what? And your angels are so confused. They don't know what signs to bring you. They don't know what signals and you know, unless you're clear inside and you simplify your life,
exactly.
then they cannot help you. They have tried to help you in the past because you said, oh, this really looks good, and they start to gather signs to bring you in order for you to step forward. And just as soon as they've gathered these signs or these, you know, signals or whatever it is, then you're off on another tangent. And so they can't interfere with free will. They're not going to, you know, send you a letter saying, oh, you need to go here in a specific date and time. You need to get clear inside. I don't know if you spend any time in reflection. Some people call it meditation. Do you take any time out during the day, T, for just quiet time?
I haven't. I've been extremely busy with my job. which makes me unhappy. But I've been trying to take the time to do it this week since I'm on vacation. And I ask myself, what is it that you want? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? Because everything I ask for, I get. But when I get there or when I get it, I'm unhappy with it. And it's just like, I don't want to make another move and be unhappy.
What they want you to do is they want you to take 10 or 15 minutes. That's not a lot in a 24-hour period. And they want you to sit down and close your eyes, and they want to drop down to your heart. And after a few minutes of just focusing on your breath, they want you to ask your heart, what is the most fun for you? What gives you the most joy? What is a gift, a talent, or ability of you that you would do it regardless of getting paid? You know, you would do it regardless of anything else in the world. And they want you to sit with that. And they want you to listen to your heart. Let's go to the cards and see what comes out for our lovely tea. Okay, the first card that comes out for you is, I love it, the Two of Swords. The Two of Swords is a double-edged card. The first is that you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice. It's the choice card. But it's also the peace card. It's also the stasis card. Allow your heart, which you haven't been listening to, you or it's been speaking to you, but you haven't made time to listen to your heart, is to be at peace so that you can hear what your heart has to say. The next card, love it. The next card for you is the Three of Swords. Now, this is often the heartbreak card. I mean, you are unhappy in your employment. And if I was to ask you if this was the last job in the world, is your job currently the only job in the world? You would say no. And then the posse of angels would say, don't give up the job, but start to open yourself and say, I am open. Thank you, God, for my new job in which I get financially remunerated. I work with lovely people. I get to do my gifts and talents. They're saying, see, that you haven't thought big enough. You haven't dreamed big enough. You're dreaming very small. So they want you to dream a lot bigger. And the third card is confirmation. The third card is the Magician card.
Oh, I love that card.
It's the Alchemist card. You have not garnered all the forces and the energy inside of you, which is in your heart, to be led by your heart's desires. So once you do this, once you make time to listen to your heart, then your heart will lead you. The posse that your angels will pick up what it is that your heart most desires. And then they will send you signs to that. So I hope this has been helpful for you.
Oh, that's such a nice message. I love these messages. T, that was wonderful.
That was.
Thank you.
Sending you lots of love.
Where are you from, T?
Georgia.
Where are you from?
Georgia.
Georgia. Oh, my goodness. How's the weather in Georgia? I keep asking everybody. I don't know why, but how's the weather in Georgia?
It's pretty nice.
Well, listen, it takes some time, so just focus. I know sometimes that's a tough thing to do. I'm almost going to ask you, are you a Sagittarius or a Sag rising?
Yes.
Gotcha. So it's not easy. But listen, we love you, and you had great messages. So have a great day.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Bye. You know what? It's so crazy, Claire, because I don't even know astrology that well, but I know all the signs and their characteristics. It just downloads to me, and I know by how they are and what their personality is, what sign they are and what they came in to do. It's really crazy.
That's so wonderful.
I know. Well, listen, we only have 5 minutes left, so I'm not going to take anybody else, everybody.
Okay.
But I do want to thank you, and I want you to tell everybody again how to get a hold of you and where to get the book.
Okay, you can get the book at my website, Angel Healing House. Go www.angelhealinghouse.com, angelhealinghouse.com. And you can contact me, Claire Candy Hoff, on 831-277-3716. I see clients locally, nationally, internationally for intuitive counseling, angel reading, also my Reiki, distant healing, and also locally in Los Angeles. You can listen to Angel Healing House Radio, which airs weekly every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I also take calls on my program for free mini angel readings.
Can I ask a question? Because, we only have a few more minutes, and I want to ask the Posse of Angels. I want to thank them. Did they have any messages for this departing show? To depart right now. I don't know why I'm using that word. But is there any departing wishes or messages that they would like our audience to know?
Yes, they want, and if you are listening to this show, you have been through such an extraordinary past 10 years. Because you've cleared and you've cleansed so much, you are vibrationally and energetically so much higher than any other collective on the planet. They want you to know, one, is stop being so hard on yourself and give yourself credit for all that you've done, and two, is to let go of how you think your life should look like and open up to that divine following, that the will of the divine, following that wonderful being of service. And they want you to have more fun and play and joy in your life, and bring forth your gifts and talents and abilities, because that's why God placed them in your heart, because there's such an integral puzzle piece of the planet for you to contribute vibrationally to the planet. So that's their message.
I thank you so much. That was beautiful. And I just want to let everybody know I'm back again on Monday with Susan Z. Our times have changed, but so you got to check the blog talk, because I haven't really decided where my times have changed. But I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Claire Candy Hoff. Thank you, Angel Ariel. Thank you, all the angel and posse of angels. Thank you so much for enlightening us, for showing us the way, and for the beautiful messages. Again, thank you.
All right.
And I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye.